Have you ever found yourself, maybe at work, surrounded by all the latest software, the most advanced tools, this whole digital arsenal, but you feel strangely stuck?
Oh, definitely. Or maybe even more overwhelmed than when you started.
Exactly. It's a
And
bit like having a Formula One car, but you're only ever driving it in bumper-to-bumper traffic. You've got all this power, technically, but you're not really getting anywhere fast or efficiently.
yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay, so let's unpack this common modern challenge, this feeling of, well, tool obsession. We're doing a deep dive today into Phil Warnath's really insightful article, Escaping Tool Obsession: Why Fundamentals Matter More Than Ever. Our mission really is to pull out those crucial insights that help us shift, pivot from being so tool-focused to prioritizing the fundamentals. Get ready for some hopefully profound aha moments about efficiency, effectiveness, maybe even a bit of personal freedom, all inspired by Warnath's really vivid metaphors.
And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is how universal this message is. I mean, yes, his original piece is rooted in design principles,
Right, design.
but the core ideas, they stretch way beyond just crafting interfaces.
Yes.
This isn't just about software choices. It's about how we fundamentally approach solving problems in, well, pretty much any field. And honestly, how we navigate daily life
That's
sometimes.
so true.
We're going to uncover some maybe unexpected analogies today that really drive home the point that sometimes the best solutions are hiding in the simplest places.
And for Warnath, the whole conversation sort of kicks off with this really provocative question from Richard Mills on LinkedIn.
Oh,
It
yes.
grabbed Warnath's attention, and I bet it's made a lot of us stop and think, what happens if you take Figma away from your design team?
Oof. Ah.
Figma, for anyone unfamiliar, it's one of the big leading digital design platforms. A simple question, but wow, the implications. They're huge. And Mills didn't just leave it there. He followed up with these really piercing questions. Would that team still create value? Could they reframe a business problem? Like, could they actually define the real challenge, not just build something for what they think is the challenge?
Critical distinction.
Could they run a workshop that genuinely aligns people or sketch ideas with users, basic stuff, not just polished pixels? Could they defend why a feature even exists or, importantly, challenge assumptions baked into the roadmap?
That list of questions from Mills is, well, it's kind of brutal in its simplicity, isn't it?
It really is.
It just cuts right through and exposes whether you're primarily a tool user or, a genuine problem solver. Because Warnath's conclusion on that is pretty stark. If yes, you've got designers who think beyond tools, if not, they might be great at delivery, but underused when it comes to solving the right problems.
That phrase, underused when it comes to solving the right problems, that hits hard.
Think about it. How often do we see companies pouring money into cutting-edge software, only to find their teams are still kind of struggling with the fundamental definition of the problem, not just the execution?
It's like your Formula One car in traffic again.
Exactly. And this also brings up an important point Warnath highlights about timing. Often, design, or really any problem-solving function, gets pulled in too late in the game.
Yeah, when all the big decisions are made.
Right. But when it's brought in earlier, he says, everything gets sharper: thinking, direction, and decisions. So the central problem here is clear. Leaning too heavily on specific tools can really distract us from the actual work, which is solving the right problems, not just getting good at operating the software.
And this leads us straight into a concept Warnath calls the carpenter's paradox. Just picture this. A seasoned carpenter, right?
Yeah.
Years of relying only on power tools, has completely forgotten how to use a simple handsaw.
Uh-oh. I see where this is going.
Then one day, crucial project, power goes out, and he's just paralyzed. He knows what he needs to build, but without his go-to tool, he literally cannot make the first cut.
Wow, it's not just about having my backup then.
No, it's about losing that fundamental, almost muscle memory understanding of the essence of your craft. We see it in engineering too, right? The default is often these massive cloud platforms, Azure, Vercel, Adobe, GCP, the big ones. But how many engineers today could still, just spin up a basic virtual private server over SSH, basically build a simple server from scratch without all the fancy interfaces if they really had to?
Exactly. That capability, that foundational knowledge, and it feels like it's maybe fading. It really hits home. And it reminds me of thinkers like Klaus Krippendorf talking about how design is ultimately about creating meaning, solving human
Not
problems.
just tool operation.
Precisely. Or Don Norman, you know, the design of everyday things guy, always hammering home that design should fit people, not force people to fit the tool. And to your point about the carpenter and engineer, same for designers. How many can still build a site map by hand? You know, just paper and pen, charting out a site structure.
Or map a user flow without needing a specific plugin, just fundamentally understanding that journey.
Right. When the tool crashes or the Wi-Fi dies, does the thinking just stop? You really don't want to be like the digital equivalent of someone who can only use a microwave but can't fry an egg.
Huh. Perfect analogy.
The core takeaway is just so clear. It's not just about a plan B. It's the deep, ingrained understanding of how things fundamentally work, regardless of the latest tech. The principle, like Warneth keeps saying, is just fundamentals first, tools second.
That deep dive into knowing the basics. It perfectly sets up Warneth's personal philosophy, which he calls why I choose bikes over planes. Now, he's quick to say, look, this isn't about hating on tech. He admires advanced technology.
Right. He's not a Luddite.
Not at all. It's more about his preference for direct, immersive, human-scale experiences. Think about it. Bikes, kayaks. Mm. You don't just use them. You kind of understand how they work. You can often fix them yourself. You feel connected to the actual journey.
Mm-hmm. You feel the effort.
Yeah. He calls them true MVPs. Minimal, purposeful, and empowering. When you're on a bike, you feel every bump. You're connected to the terrain, the weather, your own physical limits even. There's no autopilot, just smoothing everything over and disconnecting you.
No autopilot lulling you into complacency. Yeah.
And this whole philosophy runs through his Substack series, The Power of Tiny, where he talks about choosing simplicity like folding bikes or single induction cooktops and how that could actually revolutionize your daily life by making you understand things better, giving you more ownership.
It's such a brilliant antidote to what people sometimes call gear acquisition syndrome, right?
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
That endless cycle of buying the latest, most expensive thing, thinking that's the key to unlocking your potential versus just getting moving with what you've got. Warneth shares this fantastic example. He saw someone buy a 2,000 Emerald gravel bike to finally tour, right?
Okay.
Rode it twice, then it just sat there. Meanwhile, Warneth himself did a 500-kilometer tour on a 250 folding bike.
Why?
Because, he said, it was cheap to lock up anywhere, easy to fix if something went wrong, and crucially, it was good enough to learn what mattered on the actual journey. It reminds me of John Maeda's design law. Subtract the obvious, add the meaningful.
Love that. Subtract the obvious, add the meaningful.
A simple tool, used well, understood deeply, often gets you much further than some complex, expensive thing you never actually start using properly. The rule of thumb seems pretty clear. Yeah. Start small, move early, upgrade only when reality truly demands it.
Yeah.
And look, this isn't about resisting new tools altogether. Things like rapid prototyping tools, V0, Figma, they can be incredible for speeding up certain parts of design work.
Absolutely. They have their place.
For sure. But it's about knowing when and why to use them. It's about focusing first on understanding the problem, navigating that initial ambiguity, shaping genuinely meaningful solutions, not just, you know, pushing pixels around, stacking code libraries, or sort of vibe coding your way through building a feature without really grasping the core goal.
And the analogies just keep rolling, really helping these ideas stick. Warneth says tools are like maps. Super useful for navigation. Obviously, they show routes, terrain.
Of course. Can't navigate without them sometime.
Right. But, he points out, they're not the territory itself.
Yeah.
A map shows the path, but it can't tell you why you're making the trip or what unexpected insights you might find or what cool discoveries you'll make if you wander off the path a bit.
That's a great distinction. The map isn't the experience.
Exactly. And he frames this beautifully as the difference between a tourist and an explorer. Tourists follow the pre-planned routes, often just glued to their GPS, telling them exactly where to turn next.
Been there, done that.
We all have. But explorers, they kind of embrace getting a little lost sometimes. They ask questions, talk to locals, and through that, they gain this much deeper, more sort of embodied understanding of the place.
Yeah, real feel for it.
The danger Warneth flags is that too many of us, maybe in our work, treat our tools like that GPS. We just follow the suggested route, the default workflow, without really questioning if it's even taking us to the right destination. We end up optimizing for efficiency over understanding, maybe speed over genuine insight.
That map versus territory idea flows so well into another one, the gardener's wisdom. A master gardener doesn't start with the fanciest sprinkler system or the most expensive fertilizer mixes.
No, where do they start?
They start by understanding the fundamentals. the soil, the climate, the seasons. They learn to read the plants, you know, to see what they need, maybe even before there are obvious problems. Their tools help them, sure, but they don't replace that deep foundational knowledge.
It's about observation and understanding first.
Exactly. Think about it. A GPS-guided tractor is amazing tech, but it won't help much if the farmer can't read the clouds and see a storm rolling in. Just like a UX heat map, you know, showing where people click on a website.
Yeah, those are everywhere.
They're interesting data, but pretty useless if you don't understand the why behind that clicking behavior. You just can't outsource insight. There was recent research, actually, on Australian farmers adopting AI tech. Experienced farmers. They valued more automation, less features.
Interesting. Less is more, even with AI.
Because, as they put it, garbage in, garbage out applies just as much to complex tech as it does to anything else. Without that solid grasp of the fundamentals, the soil, the weather, the user's real needs, fancy tools just won't save you from, well, poor outcomes.
Which brings us to what Warnath sees as the ultimate danger, when tools become crutches. This is when we literally can't imagine solving a problem without one specific piece of software. Or when we just default to the same familiar workflows over and over, instead of stopping to ask, is this actually the right approach for this particular challenge?
Yeah, the path of least resistance.
Right. And using the same tool for everything turns your digital toolkit into what he calls a bloated Swiss Army knife. Tons of features, but maybe none of them are quite sharp enough to cut through real ambiguity.
I like that. Bloated Swiss Army knife.
It's that classic saying, isn't it? When you only have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, when you only have Figma, maybe every problem starts to look like a UI screen that just needs designing.
Mm-hmm. You frame the problem to fit the tool.
Exactly. Think about the photographer who feels like they need Photoshop to make a photo good, or the writer who feels paralyzed without Grammarly. The tools, in those moments, they actually become barriers to authentic expression or original thinking, rather than being true enablers.
And this stands in such stark contrast to what Warnath called the artisan's approach. The best craftspeople, woodworkers, chefs, designers, you name it, they share this common trait. They understand their materials and their craft deeply.
It's that fundamental knowledge again.
It is. A truly great chef doesn't need a sous vide machine or a molecular gastronomy kit to make an incredible meal. They understand the ingredients, the subtleties of heat, the timing, and most importantly, the taste, the experience they want to create for someone.
The gear helps, but doesn't replace the skill.
Precisely. The gear can elevate, sure, but it never replaces a refined palate and a mastery of the actual cooking process. These artisans, they don't let their tools dictate their process. Instead, they choose tools that genuinely serve their vision and their deep understanding of the problem they're trying to solve. It's about moving, as Itamar Medeiros puts it, from just executing with tools to having strategic influence shaping the why long before they even touch the how.
It really does bring it all together, doesn't it? Warnath circles back to his personal preference for methods that bring, as he says, clarity and ownership. And he offers this powerful, almost childlike comparison.
Oh, yeah?
He says, give a 5-year-old a box of crayons and they'll create a storybook. Give a trained designer every design tool in the world, and they might still struggle to start without a brief.
Wow. That says a lot.
Doesn't it? The core message is just undeniably clear. Tools don't create, curiosity does. He even shares his own experience. The best design work I've done started not in Figma, but in messy conversations, on whiteboards, and in honest field notes.
The messy human stuff first.
Exactly. So his direct, actionable advice boils down to this. Don't just default to a tool because it's there. Start with the question. And if you can't answer it effectively, try a fundamental method, not just another plugin or feature.
So what does this all really mean for you, the listener? How do you put this into practice? It's about developing your own kind of action playbook for navigating this landscape of endless tools and options.
Okay, what's in the playbook?
Well, things to avoid. Definitely chasing shiny new tools just because they're new. Creating endless mock-ups without actually getting them in front of real users for feedback, and using fancy jargon when simple clarity would work better.
Got it. Avoid shiny objects, endless polishing, and confusing talk. What should we do instead?
Do start with the real problem. Like, actually define it. Begin by just brain dumping, writing out your thoughts, sketching ideas, maybe just on paper. Test early, test often. always prefer clear, simple flows over complex ones.
Keep it simple.
And when you do use tools, choose ones that genuinely speed up learning. That might be pen and paper. Or it could be rapid prototyping tools like V0 or Figma Make, used specifically for getting quick, iterative ideas out there to test. Remember Dieter Rams, good design is as little design as possible.
Classic.
And John Maeda again. Subtract the obvious, add the meaningful. Ultimately, the real metric for any tool, even powerful new AI solutions, it still has to be, did we actually solve the user's problem effectively?
What a fantastic journey through these ideas. Werneth leaves us with this really memorable image to think about. Design like you paddle, lean into the current, adjust as you go, and don't forget to enjoy the ride.
I love that. Lean into the current, adjust.
It's such a vivid invitation, isn't it? To reflect on your own habits. Where in your work, or even just your daily life, are you defaulting to the fancy tool, the complex system, when maybe a more fundamental, hands-on approach might actually serve you and your goals much better?
Yeah, and that really raises an important question for you listening right now to maybe ponder later. Where in your own life might you be mistaking the map for the territory? Or maybe letting a tool become a crutch, replacing a fundamental strength you already have or could develop.
Food for thought.
Definitely. We really encourage you to keep exploring those kinds of questions, keep challenging your assumptions about tools and fundamentals, and keep learning what truly matters in getting things done.